Well, obviously, there's a lot of questions about the 3-4. But I think many times too much is made of that. I get a lot of questions about the transition and about is Aaron Kamen going to be able to make a position move and all those things. But over the years, everybody has a lot of flexibility in their defense, and I think you make a big mistake if you don't have enough flexibility in your defense. It has to be the players first. You figure out who your best players are, and then you adapt your defense to what they do the best. We know what we'd like to be, but the number one thing is we have to find a way to get our best players on the field and feature your best players, because I've always felt that the best defenses have maybe two or three what I consider difference makers and an awful lot of good role players, and you have to figure that out, and you have to put your difference makers in position where they can go make plays.
That being said, though, some of your best players are coming off injuries, Cullen Jenkins, Atari Bigby, Nick Barnett. Does that handcuff you a little bit, or do you have some time? Is it still early enough?
The process you go through is initially, and we'll start that with the off-season program and our OTAs, that they have to mentally, first of all, learn what to do, what you're going to ask them to do. So it's assignment first, and then it becomes technique or how to do it second. And obviously with the number of guys we have coming off of injuries and really key guys, because they're some of our better players, we'll have to make sure we do a good job of keeping them mentally up on what their assignments are. And then anything that we can do with them from a walkthrough standpoint or just maybe a teaching progression in terms of technique to try to get them prepared so when they do go on the field that they'll be prepared to make progress at that point in time.
Don, coaches always talk about how important the off-season program is. It's kind of a staple for coaches. But is it more important when there's a significant change of some sort, and obviously this would be one of those cases?
Yeah, I think it's significantly more important because everything will be fairly new terminology. It's funny because a lot of the players will have done the same things, but I always equate it to speaking a foreign language, that we all have different terms that we use, and many of them mean the same thing, but they're different terms for the same thing. And so I think in order to have the kind of productive training camp that you need, because this is a game of quick reaction and reaction, and you can't have a lot of thinking involved. In order to react, you have to know what to do, and you have to be able to respond, because you're going to have a lot of adjustments to formations and motions and shifts. And so you have to make a lot of progress in those areas in your off-season program.
Things kick off tomorrow or Monday. What's the progression for teaching these guys from the foundation all the way up? How do you go about it?
Well, the initial phase is what they'll do is they'll be spending a lot of time in the weight room and doing their strength and conditioning initially. When we start the OTAs, then we'll have a series of meetings, walkthroughs, practices, and try to assimilate as much of what they're going to see in training camp. So when they leave here after our mini camp, that they have the foundation and the basis to where when they come back in for training camp, they're going through it a second time. And what we get done in our on-the-field work here in the month of May and June will be extremely important to us having the kind of training camp that we want. I think, linemen are a premium, whether you're in a 4-3 or 3-4. I think just looking at the combine this year, it doesn't take long to see that big 300-plus pound guys are a premium on defense that can move and do the things that you ask them to do. probably one of the differences, you know, if you are a 3-4 team, you're going to have more linebackers because obviously you've got three down linemen and four linebackers on the field. And then when you go to your sub-defenses, which you play a lot of now because there's so many 3 and 4 wide receiver sets that you play against, then your outside linebackers become your defensive ends. And so when you're in a sub-defense, you might only have one or two defensive linemen on the field and a lot of the combination of linebackers. One of the advantages of that is you feel that it gives you more versatility because you've got more guys that can rush or drop, and you can move them around, and it gives you a little bit more flexibility.
You told a great story out there about how you got started in Carolina and how you took advantage of free agency, but it looks like this year, if you're going to get help, it's going to have to be from Ted and in the draft. Do you have to get guys from a 3-4 college program just because you're only going to have them for 4 months before that first preseason meeting?
One of the challenges, I think, is there's not as many 3-4 teams in college football as there are 4-3 teams. So what you're doing many times is you're taking a college defensive end and projecting whether he can drop into coverage. You can normally tell his rush ability, and for outside linebackers, if you would say what's probably the number one thing you look for would be pass rush ability. And those guys have normally been pass rushers. They've been productive guys. If you look at the players over the years, they've normally led the team in sacks. I think there are more guys this day and age coming out that have the potential of doing that because college football is now you see all these spread offenses and there's no backs in the backfield. They've got five quick receivers and you better have the more athletic ability you can put on the field, your better chance of success. So you're getting a lot of those maybe 235, 40-pound guys that have been playing defensive end in college that will end up being outside linebackers in the NFL.
Kevin Colbert from the Steelers was saying at the combine that for those guys, a lot of times it takes 2 or 3 years before their guys really know what they're doing in the scheme. And talked about the challenge when you went to Jacksonville, you managed to have the number one defense, even though you were making a transition like this. How do you accelerate the curve? What can you do to make it happen a little bit quicker? Or is that where you're dealing with the players you have?
I think that's number one. You would always like to be. You have to address what it's going to take, I think, to give yourself the best chance of having success with the players you have right at that point in time. But I'll say this, and Kevin, they've done probably the best job at Pittsburgh of anybody of always having a guy to step in. You look historically, and part of that has been they've had the same defense in place. I think this is going on 18 years now. Same defense, so it hasn't changed. So they know the qualifications of what they're looking for. And so just to look at the history there, that when Kevin Green, his contract was starting to come up, we had drafted Jason Gilden, a year or two before. Jason was an undersized defensive end out of Oklahoma State, had a lot of sacks, didn't know how to play outside linebacker, but he came in, he ran down on all the special teams, and he rushed some on third down while he was learning the position. Kevin's contract came up, they moved Jason in, Kevin went to Carolina, and Kevin could still care and led the league in sacks. Our second year at Carolina. But Gilden stepped in and became a Pro Bowl player. You saw him go through the transition of letting Joey Porter go to Miami, and this year they had the NFL Defensive Player of the Year step in James Harrison. But he'd been in the system there working. So ideally, you would like to get maybe a couple young guys that you can keep in the system, and they're learning the system, and while they're doing that, they become good special teams players for you because a lot of the qualities that it takes to be a good special teams player, it takes to play outside linebacker, in terms of athletic ability, toughness, size, ability to defeat a block, tackling ability. So that's the ideal situation. So you have your starters and you have a couple young guys learning who are really good contributors in other areas on your team. When their time comes, you've got a guy that's ready to step in.
Fans, have you, do people recognize you? giving you their thoughts. Any good stories?
Well, it didn't take me long to figure out, that people follow the Packers around here. When I came in for the interview, I didn't even know anybody knew I was coming in for the interview, but I was on my way out to the airport. I had about four or five people come up to me and comment, and I'm thinking, how do they know I was coming in for the interview? And so I was just sitting there. So, that left an impression when I was leaving to go back before Mike could even offer me the job. And this is such a unique situation because of the size, I think, of the city and the fan interest and the tradition. And I don't know if I've got any unique stories. I've spent most of my time here in the stadium since it's either here or the hotel. So I really haven't been out much. I do. I think Aaron would be a good fit in any defense. Aaron was the first player that I talked with. He came up to my office, and obviously Aaron, being as conscientious as he is, he kind of wanted to know what weight you want me at, how's this going to work and all that, and we talked, and I think Aaron's excited about it, and we're excited about Aaron. So, again, I think Aaron's a good football player. He certainly has all those intangible qualities that you look for. And to me, you can't underestimate those things. That's why guys normally produce, is because they're gonna have everything down from an assignment and a technique standpoint, and they're going to give you great effort, and they're going to try to do it the way that you're asking them to do it. What I told him is, I think he told me he was in the mid-260s when he came in. And I said, don't get too hung up on the weight. I said, you know better than anybody else the weight that you can move the best and the strength. You have to have strength and movement. And you know better than anybody else. For me to sit here and say, I want you at this weight, I think is wrong. I've seen guys try to gain weight because they have the impression they have to be heavier, and I've seen guys that if they think they're going to be dropping, try to lose weight, and then they lose their strength. But I think everybody, has a natural weight that they're going to be the best at, and a player knows that. He knows what he's played at, knows what his movement capabilities have been. And to me, it's whatever he feels the best.
Tom, it's human nature, though, for all of us to be a little bit concerned about change. I mean, maybe not fearing it, but at least being a little apprehensive about it. Did Aaron express to you in that first meeting? I assume there was a reason why he was the first player you talked to. Did he express any concern at all?
I think we all get a comfort level with the things that we've done. Believe me, starting two expansion franchises, I know, because I've had a first-year expansion team that's had 23 different NFL teams represented on that one team. And so those 23 different teams, those guys knew what they did at the last place, and that's what they were comfortable with. And we're the same way as coaches. So, I think any change – creates a little bit of an uncomfortable feeling, but I think it also can bring a feeling of excitement and the possibilities that it might bring. So I think Aaron's the type of guy that looks at it as a challenge, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to meet the challenge of doing the things that we'll ask him to do.
What's your tolerance level with that, though? I mean, I would assume you'd want near perfect attendance when you're trying to get this going from everybody, right? Or are you going to be flexible in a case-by-case situation?
Well, I think you have to be flexible. I mean, in the rules state that you have to be flexible. But I do believe this, that players understand the importance of being involved in things. And one of the things that we'll try to do as a defensive staff, they'll see that we don't want to waste 1 minute of their time. We don't want to waste our time. So there has to be a sense of purpose to everything that you're doing. And that sense of purpose is going to be what we feel gives us the best chance of winning. So we'll take an organized approach. We have an awful lot of things to teach. And I think if a player's not here, he'll see that it's going to be a big challenge to probably catch up on some things. But our job is to make sure that, you know, if a good football player is not here, all right, that we do as much as we can to try to catch him up. But there's no question it'll be an advantage to the guys that are here taking it day by day as opposed to if a guy misses certain elements of it. I think if you talk to any coach in the NFL, you know, he would want more players, okay, more guys. I mean, that's just natural. But, you know, I think we've got a number of good football players here. And how we end up fitting that all together is going to be a process that we'll go through. But I think there's certainly some possibilities, and it'll change. It'll change. My experience tells me it'll change from when we end the strength part, the meeting part, the OTAs, the mini camp. You come away with certain impressions of your team, and you've got to be careful because once you start training camp and you put the pads on, many times some guy's stock's going to go up and some guy's stock's going to go down, and your impressions of your team will change. You know, I just stated in there, and I've always believed this, that to be a good defense, the number one thing you've got to be able to do is stop the run. And it's hard to evaluate that until you get the pads on out here in training camp of what's your ability to be able to defeat a block and get off the block and go make a tackle will be. You can't tell that, you know, when you're out there in shorts. You can tell guys' athletic ability. You can tell their mental capabilities, all those things. But it's come Sunday, it's a physical game, and certain guys' stock goes up when all of a sudden you put the pads on and you add the physical element of it. So it'll be a process we'll go through. You know, I wish I had a comfort level where I could stand here and say, hey, we've got everything we need, all right? But you probably couldn't get any coach in the league to say that. But
is it too early to make a promise that this defense can be better this year than the Packers defense was last year?
Well, that's our goal. Our goal is to be as good as we can be. And from the first thing that we do, okay, we have to take that approach in terms of what's going to give us a chance to be as good as we can be, because that's the challenge in this league. And it's a fine line. We all know that these games come down to one, two, or three plays, and you never know when those plays are going to happen. So our challenge to the players is going to be, what are we going to do? It's going to give us a chance, all right, to be as good as we can be. And then we have to set that standard high, and then we can't lower the bar. We've got to consistently work to that standard.
Thank you.